brings the passion.
For what? I want to know now. I'm mentally invested. Don't tell me to pray and you don't say what for.
He brings the perspective.
Yeah, I think they both have a great point.
Get off me, text line.
He's truly one of a kind.
That is whack.
Oh, my God.
And he's doing a great job.
I need you to man up and say what you really want to say.
Simon, you're doing a great job.
I am AI.
And together, they are Stymie and Guru.
Yeah.
On 95.7 The Game.
All right, what's going on, everyone? Evan Giddings, Daryl the Guru Johnson for you here on a Tuesday.
Yes, and sir.
I'm sorry. I got to apologize to you early.
You were a little cranky. It's all good. It must be the chair.
I didn't have my cup of coffee.
Or were you a little jelly? I gave Lubman a compliment one-on-one.
That wasn't the problem.
Oh, and no. Then you go, you don't have to announce. You're Steiny. You don't have to announce when you give somebody a compliment.
So Goo walks in and, you know, the door's open. Salespeople are out there trying to work in silence. And he just starts talking to Sam. And he says, Lubman, love how you're coming in your own, man. I'm like, that's a really nice thing to say. In my mind. And then Goo walks into the studio and announces, I just gave Lubman a compliment.
I didn't think you heard it. I was like, and you weren't supposed to say it. You weren't supposed to say it.
KCBS,
but I got love for Lubman. Look at you.
No, you do. You do, man. We got a lot of love to go around. First, got to give a shout out to the Valkyries.
No, there's no doubt. How you like that?
Well, they took down the Lynx last night, 80-66.
And first, I was waiting for the Lynx to come back. You're right. 0-9. Since the inception of Vows.
Had not beat them before.
Yes, sir.
Biggest and regular season win.
I'll tell you this. I was at the game last week when Minnesota kind of did what they wanted to do. Also winning the game. Evan, I told Stein, and he kind of scoffed at it. They did go on a run at the end to get a 20-point lead down to like 5 or 7. So I don't know if they found something. But, man, they went there and they had to win that game. Good victory. And Veronica Burton, I went on Twitter and used this, and then one of the followers hit me back. I felt like she had a Jason Kidd-type game. You know, it wasn't just a point. She scored 14, but she controlled the pace, was aggressive. So, good for the Vols.
Well, I think she had 5 steals against Olivia Miles.
Man, Olivia was frustrated.
They held Minnesota to their lowest point total of the season, 66. Best team in the WNBA.
You know what they call that? Let's see if you got your thinking cap on.
Valkatraz.
Oh, my man.
Valkatraz was in full effect in the Midwest last night.
How about Kenny and I? We're good now.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, I've never been mad at him. It's just
only
a New York.
It's only
riddle.
2 minutes in. We got it at 10:02 again today. But
yeah, that show starts at 10.
Not.
I got you.
Not Monday and Tuesday. Kenny, how you doing?
I'm doing all right, boys. I'm ready for today.
And the air is.
Today's going to be good.
Yeah, it's thinner than yesterday. We don't got jail jumpsuits. It's different.
Well, that's true.
Positivity.
But it is interesting because, look, all right, there's a couple wins last night. Valkyries won. Giants also got a win. Your boy went deep. Yeah, your boy went deep. You coming back around on him?
We'll talk later.
We will. We'll get to him later in the show. No, but I kind of want to start yesterday where we left off with the Niners because,
man,
you know, as much as the weekend had me feeling a little up-goo, I started just kind of jotting down all the things that have been going on this offseason with San Francisco.
So you needed some paper.
Well, I was hoping to find some positivity, but I got to tell you, the more you stack up everything that's gone down, the more it looks like an absolutely awful summer. And we're going to find out in a couple of weeks if it means anything, because they'll take on the Rams and they'll begin their 2026 campaign. And hopefully they'll have health and hopefully they'll have wealth when it comes to wins. But I just jotted down all the things that I could think of.
All right.
And I want you to help me with this. I want you to help me with, does this weigh on a team, on an organization, and what kind of impact it might have?
All right, I'm ready for you.
Here are the 6 storylines from the summer that I came up with in order. Jed York's arrest from the weekend. Kyle Shanahan's car crash from July. Brandon Ayuk continuing to burn a bridge via social media. The electrical substation getting a podcast episode and effectively another chapter. Ricky Pearsall done for the year with a PCL, thus Debo Samuel coming back. and the anxiety of age would be the last thing that I jotted down. Mm. The anxiety of Trent Williams being 38, Christian McCaffrey being 30, of George Kittle in his mid-30s coming off an Achilles tear.
Give me the big one.
Nick Bosa.
Whoa.
With his second ACL. And Fred Warner, I guess you could throw in there. I'm not as concerned about that. But those are the six things I jotted down. And Goo, they did not have to do with contract negotiations, hold-ins, holdouts, a lot of the things we've dealt with in prior years. And yet, after writing down all those things, I kind of wish we had a hold-in. I kind of wish we had a holdout. Because there's been a lot that has gone down that has culminated in what I believe has been one of the worst summers in recent history.
Well, let's see if I can help you. And a lot of people are digging the list. And I'll start with what just jumped off yesterday, popped off yesterday with the owner. And it was embarrassing. It was a bad look. But do I think it will mess with day-to-day preparation for week one against the Rams in this season? No. Okay. And I get why people from afar and fans are, you know, upset. It was a bad decision. But that, to me, again, no cheese on the nothing burger, because I don't believe that's going to have any impact week one when they take on the Rams. Now, Ricky Pearsall, that just gets at the heartstrings of how are you going to replace him? I believe the Niners envision him on the field along with Stribling. I got to get over that because, you know, I can't shake it, and the season hasn't even started, and hopefully Strib a ball out. So I think that's a big deal. Now, the anxiety of age, that was poetic. That is my number two on your list of six, because regardless if Kyle's car accident didn't happen, York didn't get in his trouble, that's just what it is in regard to where this team is at, how healthy they're going to be or not going to be. But other than, I can't even name a few other teams that have me so puzzled and confused, Evan, on telling you what they're going to be, because it's predicated on the Red Cross. So the anxiety of age is kind of something that didn't happen in the offseason. It's happened over time, but you're staring that barrel, right? It's in your face, okay? And you can overcome that. Guys can ball out, Warner, Bosa, and the guys you mentioned. But number one to me, and it's by far, and I was reading the great Vic Tafer, who we had on last week from The Athletic, his piece. Evan, I don't know if you know this or not, but I got more confidence in Kittle playing week one than 97. And I just, my dumb self, assumed Bosa was going to be ready, Bosa was going to be fierce, and Bosa was going to be disruptive, which can still happen. But Evan, he has not practiced yet. Then he had the tendonitis in the surgically repaired knee, and now I'm sitting here like, are you telling me, Evan, Kittle may have a better chance of getting on the field week one against the Rams than Bosa?
Rams.
Well, I called them. But Evan, tell me that's not a concern. That's my number one. Well, this D-line needs Bosa.
Yeah, and if Nick Bosa's not on the field in week one, they might be the Whams, because you spell it with a W and not an L.
Nice.
So I think that Nick Bosa is absolutely a huge storyline. And it's kind of been just dismissed. And I don't know if it's because of his age or how good he is.
Well, how about the five things you mentioned? You think that has something to do with it, the Kyle car crash?
It's true. You know, we were just jotting down things again before the show that kind of cauterized this off season for the Niners. And 888-957-9570 is the number. You know, how would you, as a fan, categorize the list of things? For Guru, it feels like the stuff that I put down last about the anxiety of age, some of the injuries,
yes,
along with the receivers. That receiving core is more towards the front for him. But, you know, Jed York getting arrested, an embarrassment that's a potential crisis, Kyle Shanahan's frightening car crash, Brandon Ayuk, the substation, all that stuff, it's under the umbrella of distraction. And the thing about it, Goo, is to me, if I was to, you know, try to categorize it, a lot of it's self-inflicted. It's not...
Yeah, wow.
I understand the injury stuff and some of the age you can't necessarily control. But then again, John Lynch did discuss at the beginning of the summer, wanted to get younger, wanted to get faster, and did it through the draft. But they went out and got a 33-year-old Mike Evans. They went out and got Dre Greenlaw, who some believe might be over the hill. So, you know, some of this stuff is self-inflicted. And I'm just curious how 49ers fans are feeling about 2 weeks away from the start of opening week here in the NFL
season.
Is
that the first segment? Is it done?
Yeah, we're done.
Wow.
Well, it took about 8 minutes.
Maybe that has something to do with it.
You know what? You're giving out compliments before the show.
You know what?
Maybe
I'm
you need
done.
To direct that energy in a different place.
Email coming.
All right. 888-957-9570 is the number. Giddings and Guru here on Steiny and Guru. We'll be back after this. That segment brought to you by Safeway.
They slow it down a little bit. 10th steal of the game for the Valkyries. Left wing, Gabby. 4:46 to go. Hand off, Burton. Decides not to go downhill. Defers to Chechi. Step back left wing three. Boom, baby! 71-57, Zandalasini with 13 points.
Ballhalla, it's Gabby Williams. You're listening to Steiny and Guru coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, right on.
Gabby!
Big win last night. Kevin Dan on the call for the Valkyries. 80-66 over the Lynx, taking down the one seed. Prevented them from actually, I think, securing the one seed, but look.
How far can this team go, E? They're the number two seed.
That's the question.
They got the Valkatraz going for them.
The Valkyries can absolutely compete for a title this year. And
there
I did not think that I'd be saying that on August 25th, about 4 months ago. I can tell you that right now.
Man.
Yeah.
Right now, that's the West. I didn't do it all. I was just looking at who they play for. But if they get with Minnesota, that would be like conference finals.
Yeah.
Being the 1-2 seed, man, is going to be electric, whoever they play. And then they only had that one measly game last year at home in the playoffs. But, man, you talk about the execution and what you want when you have an expansion team. The Warriors, Joe Lacob, they have knocked it out to Parkey.
Well, look, they're ahead of schedule. Nohemia Nienen, their general manager, we talked to a few weeks ago, right before, I believe it was the trade deadline. Put together a nice squad, and yeah, they absolutely got action this season. Also, before we get back to the 49ers, and again, 888-957-9570, Giddings in for Steinmetz alongside Goo. Warriors made a move.
I thought
breaking news.
Go Warriors!
Yeah.
Yeah. Go Warriors!
Brandon Williams is officially a Golden State Warrior. 1 year, $2.6 million.
Warriors!
Now you can get off Dunleavy.
Evan, what if I told you I like the player? I wish he was taller and, you know, a wing, but he's another ball handler they need. And my goodness, 2.6, I would love that if I was making that.
Well, you're not going to get an all-star for $2.6 million.
No doubt, but I like the player. So I didn't see that on the horizon. And, you know, Warriors made a move. I like him.
Played 66 games last year for the Mavericks, averaged 13 points.
Yeah.
You know what? I think that a lot of Warriors fans, including yourself, like him.
Go ahead, Evan.
No,
he
hurt the Warriors last year.
Well, who didn't? But yeah, I give you that.
I think he had 30 on Christmas.
He did.
He had another 19-point game later in the year.
Their first acquisition of this offseason.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you guys can stop saying the Warriors haven't made a move now.
Ian, he got those 13 points in 22 minutes. So he was like he was putting it up. He knows what to do with it.
Yeah, apparently he can score. So, again, he's the guy who fills out the last roster spot effectively for the Warriors. So they signed Brandon Williams. And we'll be keeping an eye on the Warriors later in the week because they got a pretty big date on Saturday, August 29th.
So that's when it is.
That's when Steph Curry is extension eligible. So.
I'll be at the Roots Nas concert, courtesy of my man, Evan.
Yeah, Shoreline.
Yeah, I ain't been there in a while.
Well, we were just talking about things we got going on this weekend, and you saw Mount Westmore last week.
40 Water.
Ice
Short,
Cube.
Cube.
Short.
Snoop.
Snoop. Tons of legends.
Not five, not six, not seven.
And I forget who I was talking to about Questlove yesterday, but
he's a legend.
It kind of jogged my mind. I'm just thinking, yeah, the Roots are in town. Nas is going to be there.
And Black Thought.
You and I talk about it before the show, and I said, you can take my tickets.
Because where are you going?
Well, I'll be in Oakland.
East Oakland.
Yeah, I'm going to see J. Cole on Saturday. So we both got action.
That's dope. J. Cole, man.
We both got action.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Gu. Talking about the San Francisco 49ers and kind of how to describe the summer that they've had. So I gave you a list of the things that I jotted down in no particular order. And I don't know if you want to rank them or just kind of lump them all together, but to me, the Jed York arrest would be at the top of the list for me just because he's the owner. Second would be Kyle Shanahan and his car crash. Maybe the way that it was reported leaves it towards the top of mind just because there was an 11-day absence between the actual accident and the first report. Then you get into Ricky Pearsall And the question of Mike Evans under the umbrella of age and anxiety for the Niners, you know, McCaffrey, Williams, Kittle, and then Nick Bosa. And if you want to throw the substation story in there, you can. It's kind of just got another chapter at this stage. But all of that, well, and Brandon Ayuk, I'm not sure if I mentioned that already. All of that together, how would you sum up what the summer's been for the San Francisco 49ers?
I'm definitely not going dysfunction. That's way too strong. So let's just get that out the way. Accidents and mistakes do happen. And when I say accidents, that's Kyle Shanahan. And I thought that was the one that could follow them into the season because we thought maybe he wouldn't be available for the plane ride, the game, his calling plays, and being the head coach, I think be safe to say that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I feel like the timing component is why I have that not at the top. Okay, so I got, I'm going to go one, anxiety of age, two, Pearsall, three, I don't want to say it. I'll go Ayuk. Mm-hmm. And the reason I'm going Ayuk and what he was doing.
Praise hell.
Because you're going to feel the loss regardless of what Stribling does, and you don't have Pearsall. But all that he was doing, and he had his 15 minutes of fame, it's over. But what if I told you now, when I saw those videos, and I did smile and the cheeks raised, the bottom line is it's a reminder of what you don't have. And you just think about, just for a second, that contract, how he had earned it, and what he could be, and what he was at the time of the signing. I just looked at that as a reminder of what they don't have on the outside. Then you could tell me, okay, well, you got Ricky Pearsall. That's why Ricky Pearsall's number two on my list, because he's not there. So now a lot of pressure is on Stribling. I'm not saying he can't answer the bell, but before I give you all six, those would be my three. Anxiety of age, Bosa, and Brandon Ayuk. Do you think I got Ayuk too high?
No, I think it's basically a reminder of what you don't have at the receiver position that
even with Stribs, you know,
you had to go replace. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. They might have gone and got Stribling anyways. It sounds like they were very high on him going into the draft, and they found their guy. But I do believe a big reason they drafted Ricky Pearsall is because they knew they were going to have to move on from Deebo Samuel, and one of the reasons they may have decided Stribling was their first overall selection was because they knew they're going to have to move on from Brandon Ayuk. So you sign Mike Evans, Christian Kirk, if you want to include him. You bring back Deebo. And it's because of what you don't have, either because you messed it up or they went off the deep end, right, or because a guy got hurt.
No doubt. And who was it Friday, if you can help me, Evan? No, I don't need your help. Wes Oakland Holloway called in and came down my road because I used this word on Ricky Pearsall when he played. You just, I want to revisit that. And Kenny, let me know what you think. My two guys, do you have a problem with me calling Pearsall when he was on the football field? I know he didn't get any touchdowns. I thought he was dynamic in a sense. I saw him make long plays down the field, and unfortunately it was a tease. But, man, I just think had they had, you know, now Ayuk and Stribling, you know, how scared the Rams or Seattle would be.
888-957-9570 is the number. Let's get out to the city, or stay in the city, I should say, and talk to Jay. Hey, Jay, what's going on? Good morning. How you doing?
Hey, how you guys doing, fellas?
Hey.
Awesome.
Hey, I saw Goo at the corner store up on Montgomery the other day, man. Shout out Goo, man. It was good to see him face-to-face. But, I want to talk about the Jed York thing, man, you know, and even the Kyle Shanahan thing. Look, man, I've been part of multiple organizations, not sports, but, you know, other ones. And, you know, when you have your two major leaders going through things that they did, right? I mean, and Shanahan, it's up for debate whether it was his fault. It sounds like it was a cover up. And then Jed York gets caught, you know, pretty much doing one of the worst things you could possibly do. You know, next time the Niners are in Atlanta, and they're in Magic City, they're going to stay out extra late. You know, the leaders set the tone, right, of the organization. And I think, man, the 49ers right now have a pretty bad HR problem at the top, right? And this isn't just some middle management thing. This is the top. And I think that's going to have ripple effects in the team going forward, right? you know, think about it, right? If you're a rookie on the team and you're out one night and you have the decision to go home at 2 a.m, or you have the decision to stay out for a couple more hours, you're probably going to think to yourself, well, you know, my leadership team isn't that responsible, so I might as well just stay out. That's the kind of tone they're setting internally, man. So I don't know. I think it's bad. I think this is a really bad look. I think it's going to have effects on the Niners this season, big time. But
hey, thanks for the love. I remember seeing you, man. You came up and showed love. Yeah.
Well, I got to ask, what were you doing at the corner store in Montgomery the other day?
Oh, getting the flume right over there. Yeah, so he ran into me. So he ran into me. Said he listens to every day.
I was asking you to be completely honest.
It was a Friday.
Oh,
you asked me to be ready for the answer. And he showed love. Now, I got to say something. You know, I got love for Jerry Jones. He got caught in the bathroom doing some stuff.
It was in the documentary.
Okay, all right, gotcha. So I feel like that was a bit strong. That's my man. Like, if it's Brock Purdy, you know, partying in the wee hours of the night, making bad decisions, missing curfew, I think then a rookie would be like, well, man, I'm seeing, you know, other guys do it. But, Evan, I'm not giving Jed York a pass. I don't even have the power to. It was bad. It's embarrassing. It'll probably follow him. But I don't think the owner, who's not there every day, putting on pads, traveling with the team like that, I just don't think that trickles down to where one of these youngsters would be like, well, the owner made a bad, and I could be wrong, the owner made a bad decision, so I'm going to do it. If it was one of my teammates, you know, a leader, then I think you might have something.
No, but it's the owner of the team, and I understand where people wonder how that's going to have an impact on out routes or third down percentage.
Yes, yes.
But when you, when you talk about your organization as being one of a higher standard you know, winning with class and culture being a big part of what separates the San Francisco 49ers from any other team in the NFL,
right,
it's hard for me to take you seriously when the guy that owns the team is involved in engaging in prostitution and got booked for 2 misdemeanors in the offseason. You know, the Kyle thing is a little bit different. And I don't think, to the caller's point, that a player who's out in a particular city is going to be thinking about what the owner's doing when he wants to go home or decide to send it until 4 a.m.
Right.
Like, that to me is maybe more of a micro thing. But absolutely, players are wondering what the Niners stand for right now. You know, what are the San Francisco 49ers about? Because I just gave you several things that have happened this summer, just in one offseason, that may lead you to believe that this, again, higher standard that they hold themselves to is not actually there. And you could be saying, hey, that's naive. I don't know why you'd believe that in the first place. This is professional sports, the NFL, stuff happens all the time. But stuff like this hasn't happened to the Niners in recent memory to me. Yeah. And it's all becoming undone, particularly at a fragile time in the franchise's place, because we don't know how much of a window they have open.
And that's a big question for me.
So, like, all of this precedes, in my opinion, a pretty important season, because I think that with Shanahan and Brock, you do have two pillars in place, but you're going to have to decide if you're John Lynch or down the line, whoever makes these choices, they're going to have to decide which way they want to send the 49ers. Do we want to still try and go for it by acquiring this veteran, you know, sort of experienced talent? Or do we want to put it in reverse and try and strip some parts down? So again, this is a really important year, not just for the Niners to try and, you know, win some games.
No, it's real.
But it could decide the next few years in terms of the franchise's direction, and that all is after the owner gets in trouble and gets arrested.
Yeah. Listen, I hear you, and I'm not exonerating, you know, Jed York. It was bad. But the bottom line is, this season to me is Michael Jackson for the 49ers. Team in the mirror. You're going to really, truly find out how close you are, or how far you are off from competing with Seattle and the Rams, who I think are going to be a problem. Let me ask you this, because you brought up this list. I told you number one was, and I loved how you phrased it, anxiety of age. What's number one on Evan's list of the 6 that you gave out?
It would be the owner getting arrested over the weekend. That to me is the biggest problem with the Niners right now. And the 6-5-0, I think, puts it into words perfectly. How do they hold anybody accountable now if a player gets in trouble?
the same way they would do it before Jed got in trouble. Like, to me, not, like, Evan, I'm that is heavy that you got that number one, but on third and seven, what's that? Nobody's thinking about Jed York. You know, the defense has got to tackle. They got to get after the quarterback. Offense, you got to move the chains. That still is the essence of the game. I just feel like, and you kind of described it, but man, E, these are grown-ass men, and I don't think inside their helmets or in their minds, when they're going to get after their opponent, they're going to be thinking about Jed York. And with that, I just got to add this caveat. It is, it's a bad look. But man, the standards are still the standards. The owner showed us he's human and he can make mistakes. I just don't think there's going to be a free-for-all now where players are getting trouble left and right. Since 2019, that Super Bowl trip, I feel like the Niners off the field have been pretty damn good. So, you know, people take vows and for better or for worse and infidelity left and right in our country. And some spouses give that person or those persons a second chance. We do it in life all the time when people put themselves in situations that are embarrassing and are wrong. But I just don't think that that number one, like if you tell me, Evan, you're saying that's the number one storyline of the offseason, like it supersedes Kyle's car crash, I'll give you that. But as far as this being an opponent for the team not to be ready or prepared, like I would fight against that.
Well, the biggest problem for the football team is that they're the oldest team in football.
That's why I had anxiety of health.
Yeah, I mean, look, if we're like I just ran some numbers this morning. The average age of playoff teams over the last three seasons is about 26.3 years old.
Where are the Niners?
The Niners are at 30.2. They're the oldest team in football. So if we're talking about X's and O's, that's their biggest hurdle that they have to,
right,
to get over.
Yeah.
But if I'm thinking about where the team is and where the franchise is, there's questions about the future of the Niners now because of what their owner did and the choices and his actions. I don't know if he's going to still be the face of the San Francisco 49ers. I don't know if he's going to have to cede control the way his uncle did back in the late 90s and early 2000s. I don't know who's going to take over San Francisco because, you know, the thing about it is really until Kyle Shanahan got here, there was a lot of instability between Harbaugh and him.
Oh,
and when the Niners have not had quality leadership, they have struggled. And so that to me is a big deal because as much as Jed York did make a mistake and then showed a severe lack of judgment,
right,
the people that he's put in place to run this football team have put them in a position to where they've gone to four NFC championships and a couple Super Bowls.
Yeah.
Though they haven't won, he's put people in positions of power that have helped this team. And if that changes because people don't trust him anymore, well, then that is a huge deal. And it might not show up this year, but down the line, yeah, I think there's absolutely questions about where the Niners are going.
Well, that's fair. And I just think of the Vrabel situation, although it was different, it was a distraction, and that was a head coach. You know, Kenny and I kind of talked about it yesterday. On the field, New England didn't skip a beat. I think that would be fair to say. I'm with you on the future of this team, but I just have a hard time discussing the Niners like we've done as a station all off season, and nobody once mentioned York. And then now that he puts himself and the team in an embarrassing situation, I just can't muster up the energy to say now. And Evan, it kind of feels like you're saying in the future, this could get worse or be a problem. But I just think, you know, hey, how's Bosa is he going to be available week one? What's the running game like? Who's going to win the left guard position if that's not decided? Those things supersede York's embarrassing action yesterday.
Well, right now they do. Right now they do. To fans they do because they don't care. You know, to a lot of people, he was just in a trailer park doing what guys do.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is that can impact the franchise down the line. That's the only thing that I'm trying to argue. You're right, yeah. He's not going to help Evans stay on the field.
No, but I hope I don't sound like I'm just like that was bad.
Well,
like,
no, but
is his family going to force him to sell his share? Like,
I think you're speaking for a lot of people. Like they don't care.
Gotcha.
they
if this were Kyle, I know he had his accident. Thank God he's okay. But now, Evan, if we're talking about the head coach was in this and that was Kyle's mugshot, your boy would be over here with a whole different platter of worry. But I feel like it's the owner. I just. You know, and I mentioned Jerry Jones, and I wasn't having fun. He put himself in a situation, and it kind of died down. And, you know, we saw the thing with Kraft and it was different. But who knows? You could be right. But I think the Niners got to worry. The players and coaching staff, they need to worry about the Rams.
Well, and Brian Baldinger brought that up a little bit in in light of the Jed York news. You know, how does Baldy see it impacting or not the 49ers' actual players on the field?
When San Francisco kicks this thing off in Melbourne, like, nobody's going to be thinking about it, right? Mm. Everybody's discussing it, and everybody has a pretty strong opinion about it and about Jed and the ownership and the whole thing and what should be done. So that you can't escape that. That's the players hear all of it, and they're going to be asked about it. But ultimately, when Kyle takes his team out to practice, it's not going to be discussed. Players aren't. Like, when I was in Philadelphia, we were basically on the basement, and the owners of the team, Norman Brayman, the executives, GM, they were on the third floor. Like, it was just a separation. You had the third floor. That was all upstairs. And that's a metaphor for that's kind of how all teams are. There's teams in this league, you don't even know who the owners are. To the players, they have to deal with this because they're being asked about it, and they probably feel embarrassed for Jed, and they probably wish it never happened. But ultimately, they're paid to perform by Jed. That's what the focus is going to be. It's going to be in between the lines and being a better team than that playoff loss to Seattle last year.
Mm.
No,
I agree.
Point well taken. Yeah. Point well taken. I don't know. My point is just simply, I think that ownership is something we don't care about in the immediate, but you've seen what difference ownership makes just up the street at Chase Center.
Yeah, no doubt.
When they went from Steve Cohen to Joe Lacob, within 5 years they had a championship. And I know that not everybody wants to give Joe Lacob all the credit, but the Warriors were a joke under the previous ownership.
Yeah. Great timeout.
Yeah, that's what they were. So I do think if that's, you know, potentially at risk, I think that is a big deal. I don't know. Maybe it's just me.
And I know we got the rest of the week to get down, so we got time. But I am curious to just get your temperature on. Evan, do you think this team is a playoff team? Or are you like, goo, I need to see who's available week one, week two, week three? Mykael Williams, when's he coming back? You know, what are they going to look like defensively under Raheem Morris? Or do you feel like in your gut you got a strong sense of how good you feel this team can be? Because I'm just, like, I need to know if Bosa, what's going on there?
I wonder how much the Niners are hanging on. Or if they're a team that, like, is just going to be healthy this year. And
watch out.
Everyone is going to go back to being who they were in 2022.
See, and that's why two of my favorites – I just don't think, and I think you backed me up when I brought this up to you when Stoney was on vacation. It's kind of symbolic to me that the Niners had help wanted signs for Greenlaw and Debo. Because normally when you part with a player, the progression is you got somebody to take their place. But the fact that you had openings, Z, I just wonder if Greenlaw and Debo in a Niner uniform could tap in and be what they were on their best day as a Niner.
Well, they're going to have to if this team is going to realize its potential. Like, you need Greenlaw from 2023 before he tore his Achilles. You need Debo Samuel from a couple of years ago. Well, more than a couple of years ago because he was on his way out. But Guru's biggest right now, you know, storyline from the summer is the anxiety of age for the San Francisco 49ers. Is that the way that you're feeling? You know, you got Ayuk, the substation, Ricky Pearsall's injury, McCaffrey, Bosa still hasn't returned to practice yet. The age of Williams and Kittle, Jed York, Kyle Shanahan's car crash. You know, how would you categorize this summer, and what sort of is top of mind for you as a San Francisco 49ers fan?